Mary Higgins Clark is a number one New York Times bestselling author, and she is known as the Queen of Suspense. There are over 100 million copies of her books in print in the United States alone, but her books are international bestsellers. Her latest is called I've Got My Eyes on You. In December, she turned 90 years old, and she keeps writing bestseller after bestseller. The newest, again, is I've Got My Eyes on You, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Mary Higgins Clark to the roundtable this morning. Mary, thank you very much for being with us. I always love speaking with you.
Well, I love being back with you, Joe. So here we go.
Here we go. This is, do you know what number novel this is for you?
All told, it's 52.
Wow.
I include in that two children's books, five books I wrote with my daughter, and what else, a memoir. But it's a total of 52 now.
But you never have run into the problem of coming up with a good idea, coming up with something that will satisfy both you as a writer and, of course, your legions of fans.
Well, actually, I have started a plot and said, this doesn't work. In fact, I was just looking at that on a notebook I keep, and I said, can't work. One of them, I said, it would have to be too technical, you know, where she meets somebody, goes out, and something happens. And I thought, I'm not a techie to be able to figure out how you can keep from being traced. So that's when I put it away, and probably forever. But this book, when this idea started, I thought, this could be good. And it started to develop in my mind. And then I said, okay, I guess this is the one, and I started.
So in this novel, which again is I've Got My Eyes on You, we meet 18-year-old Carrie Dowling, and, well, she's found dead, right? So how do we begin with her?
I live in Saddle River, New Jersey, and it's a pretty upscale town. And the family is a bit upscale. And they have gone away for the weekend. And when they come back, their 18-year-old daughter is at the bottom of the pool. And she had been throwing a party for 30 of her friends, which, of course, she wasn't supposed to do. But that's every parent's worry, that the kids will throw a party when they're not around. And then her older sister, who is 28, has just come home from London after 4 years away, and she is determined she must help to track down whoever did this. Her mother is absolutely frantic, and she knows someone has to be brought to justice to give her any peace. Then the detective is assigned to the case is just as determined to track this down as he starts to interview. And there are 30 interviews. I don't go into all of them. But in some of them, the mother and father are squashed with the kids between them, making very sure they say nothing that would in any way make it look as though they were the ones who did it. So I thought it's an interesting plot. Let's see what happens.
When you introduce Aileen, who is the 28-year-old sister, a guidance counselor, she's determined to help the detective and find out what happened, ultimately realizing that her own life is in danger. And this seems like very familiar Mary Higgins Clark territory, doesn't it? That's a perfect setup for you.
Well, it's the kind of setup that I like, where hopefully, and you don't think who it is too soon, and the kind of characters who are under suspicion. And in this case, there's an intellectually damaged young man. He's only 20 years old. At his birth, he had lost oxygen, and he's living with his mother, who is, she had had him when she was over 40. So she's in her early 60s and very protective and so worried because she is so afraid that Jamie, likes to be agreeable, and if the cops ask him pointed questions, he will say what they wanted to hear. So she is frantic about that. And then there are several others where the mothers are also frantic about the fact they may be under suspicion. So that you have the mothers on several of these people who are equally terrified, as well as the young man who is terrified and unfortunately is such a primary suspect. So that's the way it goes. And Aileen, the sister, and Mike, the detective, they're trying to weed out all of this and find the one who has done such a terrible thing.
When you look at your career, and this is 40 plus years as the queen of suspense, it's worth noting that you started this career late in life, actually.
Actually, I sold my Ford when I was 28 years old, and it was for $100, and I thought I had died and gone to heaven to have actually sold. And I can say now I'm a writer. And I did write short stories for the next 12 or 13 years. And I sold them pretty well. In the Saturday Evening Post, I was one of the 10 best stories of the year. But then all the magazines went to nonfiction. Overnight, there were no fiction published by the major magazines. And I thought, well, if I can't sell short stories, I'd better try writing a book. The first one was a novel about George and Martha Washington. And it was beautifully reviewed, but no one bought it. So I thought I'd like to write a book that will sell. At that point, I was widowed and I had 5 kids, 2 in law school, 2 in good colleges, 1 in a private girls' school. So I was barely able to hold my nose above water. And I thought if I could write a book that would sell. And I looked at my bookshelves and realized how much I loved to read suspense novels. And I looked, there were all the major suspense writers. And when I was thinking about it, I realized that I had always tried to be the first one, the reader, who figured out who did it. So I was training myself to write fiction, suspense fiction. And then I tried it, and Where Are the Children was the first one, and it became a major bestseller. So I knew I was on my way.
There's so many impressive things about your career. One of them is that after all of these books, that with the first, as you mentioned, the first debut suspense being Where Are the Children, it's in its 75th printing, but all of your books, all your suspense novels are still in print. And after more than 40 years, that's a wonderful thing, isn't it?
Oh, it's a pleasure. I get some fan mail. I've had 2 from Russia lately, for example, because I am published all over, for which I'm eternally grateful. And realize that it doesn't happen to everybody. But then when I start a book, it's as though I'm just starting to write. Because years ago, an editor said to me, Mary, you could write the phone book once. And he's absolutely right, because if a writer starts thinking she can write anything, that's when a reader will say, she used to be good. But, you know, she's kind of fallen away and never buy another book. So I have always been aware of the fact that readers are very, very smart and you can't put anything over on them. So don't ever try to write a book that you think you can get away with, because you won't.
In that vein of keeping it new and keeping it for fresh, am I allowed to say the landmark birthday that you reached last year?
Sure, I'm celebrating it.
All right, 90 years old, and
yes.
you still love what you're doing. You still love telling these stories and putting all of those ingredients together.
I still love it. And when people say, why are you still writing? I say two good reasons. One, I love to write. And two, I am very well paid to write. So why would I stop?
There was a time when you were the highest paid woman in literature, in publishing.
Well, there was a time, the glory days of publishing, where you had big contracts.
Yeah.
My biggest one was $64 million.
Man.
$5 million each book, four books, and one something that I wrote. I guess that was the memoir. So that was pretty nice money to make.
It seems, and I don't want to pry, but it seems like it would buy you a very nice house in Saddle River, New Jersey.
Yeah.
And well, elsewhere.
My first house was a little cottage, and then the second, a split level. But then, and it was after everybody was out of the house, I realized I wanted more room where I could have a private room to write in, where I could leave all my material perched on the floor and thrown on the desk. And that's when I bought the house that I've been in ever since, over 30 years.
As I mentioned, the new book is I've Got My Eyes on You. And I guess it's safe to say that you're at work on another novel.
Well, the one I co-write with Alifair Burke, my editors liked one book so much they wanted me to keep the characters under an under suspicion series. So we're working on that one right now. We've done four already. It always comes out in November.
And that, of course, is James Lee Burke's daughter, who's an amazing writer.
That's right.
Yeah.
And she's a very fine writer on her own. And we seem to be seamless when we work together.
Well, the new novel from Mary Higgins Clark is I've Got My Eyes on You. It is published, as always, by Simon & Schuster. Mary Higgins Clark, thank you so much for joining us. It's always a joy to speak with you. Be well, and thanks for sharing with us this morning.
Lovely to be with you, Joe. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Again, Mary Higgins Clark's latest is I've Got My Eyes on You. It's published by Simon & Schuster. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.